Good morning and welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. It's lovely to have you here this morning. Welcome to those of you who've come back from different places. Welcome to some perhaps here for the first time. It really is good to have you here with us. A little later on in the service, the children's work for children aged Chatterbox and under will be taking place out the back there. For those who are older than Chatterbox age, there are these little activity sheets, and I think one or two parents are completing them too, which is fine. Keeps you awake, so that's fine. Do get one if you would like to have one. Now, last week I had a really, really important information leaflet for you concerning our buildings here. We have some key decisions to make as we move towards the autumn. If you didn't get a copy of that leaflet last week, pick one up at the table on the way out. We really need you to read it and to start praying about it. These buildings are a gift from God, but there's more that we need to do with them, and we all need to kind of move on that journey together. So please take that leaflet and take a look at it. This winter, there are a number of people hoping to set up a homeless shelter, an overnight shelter in Newbury. And there will be a need both for finance and for volunteers. This leaflet will be coming out to small groups. It either came last week or will go next week. If you want to know more about it, speak to Mike Harris. He's fully briefed on it and will tell you more about it. And the only other thing I needed to mention to you was that there is a sponsored walk for the Bible Society to support displaced Syrian refugees in Jordan. That happens next Saturday at 9:45 a.m. in Victoria Park. It's a long way from Victoria Park to Jordan, isn't it? You don't have to walk that far. But what you do there could actually make a difference to those refugees. And if you'd like to know more about that, speak to Beryl Rowney and she'll tell you more about it. Friends, let's stand up together, ready to worship God, shall we? Listen to this wonderful description in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Please sit down as we pray together. To you, O God, we owe all things, life and hope and strength and peace. From you, O God, we gain all things. To you, right now we look with hungry hearts and hopeful minds. Come, Lord Jesus, here in the midst of your people, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, like I was saying a minute ago, in a few minutes, a whole load of you will all disappear. And I don't know what you do out there. You just disappear out through the door and I don't see it. But someone has left a frisbee in my pulpit. Can somebody explain to me why I have got a furry frisbee in my pulpit? What is this for? Somebody was out there last week. Come and tell me what this is all about. Go on, Keris, what is it? It's a sheep mask. Shall I try it on? Do you think it'll work? I'll take my glasses off. It might work better then. I don't think I can appreciate quite how endearing it looks. So yeah, you see, well, we're all the Lord's sheep, aren't we? So that's quite appropriate. And I've got my friend Sean the sheep here today. Where he is? There he is, look. And somewhere, let's have a look and see if we've got some people who look rather better than I did in that sheep mask. There we are, you see. Now, I've got Sean's sheep. If anyone wants to come up here and say hello to him, that'd be great. But I have a problem. You see, anyone who comes to the Monday... Come on up, you can look after Sean for me, will you? Now, anyone who comes to the Monday lunchtime prayer meeting knows all about the character on the screen. He's called the wonky sheep. And he's wonky because three legs are one length and one is another length. And we use that to help us pray for people who are feeling a bit wonky. We pray for the sheep who are perhaps feeling not so good that week. But I've lost him. I don't know where he is. I know he's in church somewhere, and I know he's kind of somewhere up the front here. Now, we've got Sean, but where's that silver one? Can anybody see him? I promise you he's somewhere up the front here, but I can't tell you the story until I can find... That way? Should we have a look over this way? Whereabouts? Can anybody see it? It must be on here somewhere, because I know he came into church with me. Can anybody see him? You can see it. Well, there's still one there. Is there anyone? Hey, there he is. Look, sit down. There's the wonky sheep. Now, let me tell you the story about this wonky sheep. Well, about a wonky sheep. Sit yourselves down. Now, Jesus told this story. Once upon a time, there was a person who had not one little sheep like this, or even two, or 10, or 20. The person had 100 sheep. That's more than all of you. And every morning, he would open the gate of the sheep pen, and he'd count them on the way out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to 98, 99, 100. And off they'd go, and they'd eat grass or play the games that sheep play all day. And at the end of the day, he'd open the gate again, which went, how did it go? And in they'd come, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 98, 99, 100. Now the next day he did that, he let them all out through the gate. How did it go? Yeah, out through the gate. And then in the evening, he beckoned them all home, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 97, 98, 99. One missing. Now, do you think he thought, 99's enough, and shut the gate? Do you think he did? No? No. 100. He wanted 100. So he went out and he looked. And he looked at the top of the hill, and he looked at the bottom of the hill, and he looked under rocks, and he looked in the forest. Then he called all his friends, and they came and looked as well, and they looked all night long until they found that one more sheep. And then he opened the gate again. How'd it go? And in came the last sheep, and all 100 of them were home. And Jesus said, I've told you that story because you matter just as much to me as that one little sheep mattered to him. Every single one of you matters as much as that one lost sheep. We're going to sing again together. Do you want some instruments as you're up here? Yeah, let's make a bit of noise, shall we? Let's get the instruments out. Let's put the words up on the screen. And we're going to sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. Help yourselves, guys. Thank you.
Would the rest of you like to stand?
Do please sit down, and I invite those aged chatterbox and under to make your way through to the back there. Parents, they'll need to be accompanied, at least in the first instance. Yeah, we'll have the instruments back so the mums and dads don't fiddle with them. Thank you, Beth. You want to know more about the wonky sheep, come on a Monday lunchtime and we pray together. I never, never, ever tire of telling that story to adults or children or anyone who listen, because it's the story of our salvation, of God coming looking for us when we were lost. I did have one dear soul say to me once, well, never mind about the one, what about the 99? I had to say, let's read the passage again, shall we? It's about the one, the lost one, and God just never gives up and goes on looking. It's a wonderful story, and it's our story. Let's stand as we sing it together. Thank you, David.
Oh,
Father, as those lost and found again, as those forever grateful, please accept these offerings of ours, we pray. Amen. Do please sit down.
Let us pray together. Lord, our Father in heaven, we pray for the world that we live in, with all its war, hunger, and turmoil. We think particularly of Barcelona and Turku in Finland with the recent terror attacks, and we pray for you to be in those places and with all of those affected. Lord, these attacks of hatred and division, which seem to come so frequently nowadays, we turn to you to make sense of what we see, just as many others will find themselves questioning the meaning of life and the existence of a God when such terrible things like these can happen, and all in the name of faith. Lord, we ask that in these times you would increase and strengthen our faith, that you would help us to get our heads around these events. And Lord, for those who don't yet know you and might be driven even further from knowing you because of these kinds of attacks, we pray that there would be opportunities for the opposite to occur, that their questioning would soften their hearts to you, and that the light of your love would shine into their lives, showing them the way. We'll take some time now together to pray, each of us, for these situations. We think of the situation in America with the outright rallies and violence that have been taking place in the recent weeks. We pray for that situation, that you would raise up leaders who would promote unity, equality, and love for fellow mankind, no matter what their background or appearance. Lord, we pray that you would bring peace and love to those places, and that you would provide opportunities for your disciples to demonstrate your love for your children as an example to follow. We pray together now for that situation in America. We pray for those who are ill in body, mind, or soul. We pray for all their needs, whatever they may be, and we pray for them to be aware of your love for them. Would you make yourself known to them, Lord? We'll take this time now to pray to those known to us personally. Finally, Lord, we pray for our fellow Christians at NBC and the other churches in Newbury. We pray that you would grow our faith and understanding of you, and that in doing so, you would equip us to share your love and the good news with those that we meet. We pray that we would be strong and courageous in our faith, and that we would find our strength entirely in you. Mm. Amen.
Would you like to stay seated as we sing this next song?
We bow down and confess you are Lord in this place. We bow down and confess you
this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, starting at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And a short prayer together. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your word to us, which tells us and assures us that you know us and you love us. And we ask now for your blessing upon your servant Richard as he speaks to us. Please, Lord, will you enable him to speak your word clearly and powerfully? And will you help us to be those who listen, who hear, and who respond? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. On Monday morning, as the dust was settling from the violence in Charlottesville, a man wrote an open letter to his white supremacist son. And in it, he publicly disowned him and declared that he was no longer part of the family. I quote to you from the letter. "I, along with all of his siblings and his entire family, wish to loudly repudiate my son's vile, hateful, and racist rhetoric and actions. We do not know specifically where he learned these beliefs. He did not learn them at home. My son is not welcome at our family gatherings any longer. His hateful opinions are bringing his nephews and his parents into disrepute too. Why must we be guilty by association? We do not, never have, and never will accept his twisted worldview." What will it take to get that young man home? Then again, what would it take to get your son or daughter or husband or wife or best friend back home to the God who made them? What will it take? Jesus knows them. Those people amongst your family, your friends who don't own him yet, Jesus knows them. In fact, he talks about them in verse 16. He says they're outside at another fold somewhere. He knows them, but do they know him? Maybe they don't know what they're missing. Maybe you are no longer capable of telling them because it's all so familiar to you. It's all so much second nature. You know you're the lost sheep who's been found that you can't tell them anymore. But you know, to find the good shepherd is to be like that sheep or that son who is brought home again. To find the good shepherd is to find out that out there amongst the chewed off grass and the predators, it's perfectly possible to live, but life is so much better inside the fold. To find the good shepherd is to find these things. I am known. You know, when Jesus is speaking, there are two great lines of thought converging across the surface of the globe. For the Greeks, knowledge was visual and cerebral and evidence-based. I know this cause has this effect, therefore I know it. For the Jews, knowledge was all based on relationship. I know my father, or I know my mother, or I know my wife or my neighbor. Jesus looks these people in the eye and he says, "I am the good shepherd and I know you." And both meanings are there in equal measure. Empirically, he says, "I know who you are." Emotionally, he says, "I know you for all that you are." Friends, from the second that Adam and Eve disobeyed the God who made them, human beings have been, quite frankly, lost little creatures. They're clever and ingenious and strong and compassionate and utterly brilliant sometimes and capable of microscopic engineering and space travel, but they're lost. And God comes to Adam, hiding in the garden, and he calls him by name. And God comes to Moses, the spoilt rich kid in the palace whose temper had boiled over and now he's living as a fugitive in the back of beyond in the desert. And he calls him by name. And God comes to Hagar, the discarded mother of Jacob's child, sighing in the wilderness as her son quite literally fades before her eyes. And he calls her by name. And God comes to Mary, a good young woman living by her good simple ways, and he calls her by name.
And God comes to Saul, hands dripping with the blood of those he has condemned to death because they love Jesus. And he calls him by name. And God comes to that same man, Paul, when he's changed both name and nature, and his ministry is falling apart, and he's being knocked back at every turn, and speaking as somebody who seems to know exactly what is going on. Acts chapter 18, he comes to Paul, and he says, "Don't give up." You see, he knows him. Jesus, the shepherd, knows your name. And he knows the name of all those whom you love who are still outside somewhere, not in the fold. He knows them by name. Think of them now. Just think of those people whom you love who do not embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And picture their faces. And pray that God would remove the scales from their eyes and that they would know that they are known. You know, to find the Good Shepherd is not only to know that you are known, but it's also to know that you are protected. It's not just that he knows them, and unlike counting 1 to 99 and then 100, he knows the name of every single one, but also he protects them. You know, one of the features we will find of life in the United Kingdom, as wages sink, especially for the simplest jobs, we will find more and more people saying, with some degree of justification, "I'm not paid enough to care." Jesus says, "I'm not paid to care anyway. I care because I choose to." Verse 12, he says, "The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep and does not care. Unlike a hired farmhand," Jesus says, "these are my sheep. And the land they graze on is my land. And I know every single fiber of their being." He says, "I know them and I will protect them because I do care." Verses 13 and 14, he's talking about this other person, the person who isn't paid enough to care, and who, when the trouble comes, they just run away. He says, "I will never do that. When I say that I am your shepherd, I know who you are, and I will stand to your protection." To know Jesus as Savior, to embrace him as shepherd, is to have somebody, oh, thank God, always in your corner. Is to have somebody who actually cares what becomes of you. Let's face it, life can be horrible, can't it? Life can be cruel and spiteful and hurt you and tear your very heart in two. Life can make the solid rock seem like the morning mist, or it can add bitterness to the sweetest moment. But how very much harder all of that is without Jesus as your shepherd. How very much harder without someone to stand in your corner. Jesus says, "I'm your shepherd," which means I know you by name and by nature, and I will protect you. You know, sometimes the shepherds in Jesus' time would have to protect their flock from predators. You know, they were the ones responsible to do it. Sometimes they would have to go through narrow mountain passes. Let me just show you what I mean by this. So if you imagine that we've got a sheer drop here, and a rock face here, and a very narrow ledge, the shepherd would stand this way, or teetering on the brink of the precipice, and the sheep would pass safely between the shepherd and the rock. He says, "I will protect you, my sheep." The good shepherd, he says, knows you by name, and the good shepherd will protect you come what may. In fact, the good shepherd, verse 15, he says, would lay down his life for you if it came to it. Verse 15, he says, "The Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Except, of course, the tense is wrong now, isn't it? Because he has laid down his life for the sheep. He's already done it. We've already got that benefit to our credit. To embrace Jesus as the good shepherd is to know that you are known. And there are so many people secretly crying out for that. To know that the God who made everything, the God who made everything from the tiniest microscopic particle to the great cosmos that whirls around about in space, that he knows your name. So to embrace Jesus as the good shepherd is to say, "Yes, I am known." To embrace Jesus as the good shepherd is to know that he will watch over you. To acknowledge him as your shepherd is to bow your head and to say, "Today, tomorrow, he will watch over me. Because that's what shepherds to do. What shepherds do. Now, clearly, it doesn't mean that no harm of any kind will ever come to you. All the people who heard this live, all the people who sat there at Jesus' feet and heard him say these things, died premature deaths. But you know, there are worse things to be protected from than dying, and Jesus knew all about that. You know, I always thought, going into ministry, that I would remember every single wedding I've ever conducted. And to my shame, I can't now. I thought I would remember every single funeral I ever conducted, and there have been hundreds of them now, so I can't remember all of them. But I tell you one that I do remember. One in particular sticks in my mind. The person who was buried that day had died not too long after retirement. And he'd been a mission secretary and a former deacon and very involved in the worship of the church and also involved in an external choir whose organist was shipped into church to play on that occasion. And when we stood there and we sung, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." And I literally thought the roof was going to lift off the building at that point. Because everybody knew it to be true of the man we'd buried not an hour before. Everyone knew it to be true that the shepherd had his back and was taking care of him. To embrace Jesus as the shepherd is to know that you are known. To embrace Jesus as the shepherd is to savor his protection, quite literally, from first to last breath. To embrace Jesus as shepherd is to know not just those things, but to know that you're cherished. To know that there is somebody out there who wants to see the very best version of you. That there is somebody who will love you and nurture you and correct you and watch over you until you start to flower into the person that God always wanted you to be. Jesus has not come to count sheep. Jesus has not come to herd sheep and just get them into nice, neatly little blocks called churches. Jesus has not come to shear the sheep and make them neat and tidy. Jesus has come to give them, what does he call it, verse 10, life in all its fullness. The translation I've got here says life to the full. You know, I always think, I loved those magic painting books as a child. Remember those? The ones where all you did was put water on it? You know, and you would have these pictures that were just black and white, and you'd splash a bit of water on it, and wherever the water fell, suddenly it would leap into colour. Jesus says, as the shepherd, I want to see all the colour coming out. I want to cherish you and nurture you into the best version of you that you can possibly ever be. Now think for a moment of that person that I was mentioning earlier on. That son or daughter or friend or husband or wife who's outside the fold just now. Just think of them. And you know, it's not just that they're lost until they know they are known. It's not just that they don't enjoy the protection of someone in their corner. It's that their life is not all it could possibly be. You know, that person that you're thinking of right now may be the darling of all their friends, showing a kindness and generosity of spirit that puts the rest of us in the shade. That person may be utterly brilliant, jumping every barrier in their career like a high hurdler. That person may be blessed with such profound insight that they get things which take the rest of us weeks to work out. But until they come home to the shepherd, they have no idea what it tastes like within the fold. And the shepherd is looking for them still. Like the shepherd in the children's story with the squeaky gate. Looking and looking and looking, and never content with the 99, just so long as one is missing. And maybe that one is your loved one today. You see, to embrace Jesus as shepherd is to know that you're known. And it's to be protected, and it's to be cherished. It's to come home. Let me come back to that letter I was reading from a little bit further on. That father writes, "I pray that my prodigal son will renounce his hateful beliefs and return home. Then, and only then, will I lay out the feast. You see, a father is waiting for his son, and a shepherd is waiting for his sheep. And I'm going to ask Keith if we could lose the lights now, and just for about 3 minutes, we're going to watch a little film together. And as we watch it, please, will you pray the sheep home? Father, we pray them home. We pray for the lost ones. And we ask that they might find a way back to the shepherd. Amen. I'm going to stand and sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd."
Amen.
And now we ask that the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.